I was in school, whether it be high school, probably not so much, you know, middle school, junior high school, but high school and college, the most asked and repeated question to the instructor, whether it was a teacher or professor, is this: is this going to be on the test? Some teachers and professors are kind enough to give specific answers, or you don't need to know this. Others were vague and they said, well, this might be a good thing to know. And then you had those professors that were tough, and they would say, you have to know it all. It's all on the test. And as soon as those words came out of the professor's mouth, it's all on the test, I immediately knew it called for one thing: multiple all-night study sessions. How else do you know everything that's being taught? The best way to ace a test is to know what the questions are. The best way to get an incredible grade is to know what's required of you in advance. And this is exactly what we find in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It says this: with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the third sermon in this pre-series on Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Pastor Renee spoke a couple weeks ago on do justice. Pastor Barry spoke last week on love mercy. And this week we're talking walk humbly with your God. God, what is it that you expect of me? What are you asking of me? What do you require of me? How on earth do I pass the test of life? See, God doesn't hide what is expected from us. You want to pass the test of life? This is what you need to do. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We wanted to give you a framework in which we could talk about difficult things from a biblical perspective. As next week we jump into our series, see, that's why we're calling this the pre-series series, because next week we start our series called Hot Topics. And we felt like Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 was the perfect way to frame difficult conversations. So we will approach every topic with justice, with mercy, and with humility, because we believe that's the best way to handle a difficult and potentially contentious topic, hot topics. Walk humbly with your God. Let's dive straight into, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, Paul writes an incredible passage encouraging us to be like Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. And Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he wants the believers to follow that example. And so for time's sake, I'm not going to read all 11 verses, but I want to encourage each and every one of us to go back after the service and read through Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It'll literally take you like 3 minutes, but I believe it's important for each of us to read it through and have an understanding of the full context of the passage. In verses 3 and 4, Paul instructs us to have a humble soul, a humble soul. He says this: do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Nothing that we do should find its motives or its roots in selfishness or conceit. See, every follower of Jesus begins their new life in Christ in the exact same place, at the foot of the cross, which is where we experience death to self. No one can receive salvation without experiencing death to self, death to the flesh, death to selfishness, death to our self-seeking ways, and it all happens at the cross. Each and every one of us died when we surrendered to Jesus at the cross. And we found our new lives in his resurrection. You see, but when we were resurrected to new life, We became new creations, the Bible says. What wasn't resurrected was our flesh and our selfish ways. But far too often, we find ourselves performing CPR on our flesh. We're pumping on the chest of our flesh. We pull out the paddles. We're rubbing them together. Charge to 200. And we're trying to revive our selfish ways. Why? I have no idea why we do that. We should just leave the selfish ways and our flesh in the grave where it fell. Jesus lived with greater regard for the people around him than he had for himself. This is the life that we're called to live. Not to ourselves, but to all the people that are around us. It's humility to consider everyone more important than yourself. Now listen, notice I didn't say more valuable, but more important. We are all equally valuable. Each and every human being is equally valuable. Not just Christians who follow Jesus, not just people that look like us, talk like us, believe like us, but all people. Every human being is equally valuable. To think otherwise doesn't devalue people. It devalues the price that was paid for every life, which is the life of Jesus. See, when we treat others as more important than ourselves, we are honoring them. We're preferring them. We are celebrating them as a person who was handcrafted by God himself. Now listen, this isn't a celebration or approval of everyone's choices. But this is a celebration of them being created in the image of God, one who Jesus looked at and said, "You are worth dying for. I will give my life for you." He didn't give his life for our choices and our lifestyles, but he gave his life for us as people. Having a humble soul is loving people. This is agape love. This is 1 Corinthians 13 love. This is a love that is pure. It's willful. It's sacrificial. This is a love that intentionally desires someone else's highest good above your own. This is what it means to love somebody like Jesus loves us. A humble soul builds up. It recognizes and adds value to people. A humble soul doesn't pretend to love people. The humble soul really loves them. In verses 5 through 7, Paul teaches that we should also take up the humble spot. He says, "Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." Jesus took up the humble spot of being a bondservant. Now, a bondservant is someone that has made the decision to give themselves up completely to another person's will or another person's desires. Jesus made a choice to take the place of a servant. Jesus wasn't forced into it. Jesus wasn't tricked into it. He made the decision. And as he entered into humanity, he took on human flesh. He didn't hold tightly to the reality that he is God. He didn't flaunt his deity. He didn't push his identity in people's faces. See, Jesus fully knew who he was. He's God. And he went about his mission without drawing attention to it. In fact, many times he tried to hide who he was. If someone figured out that he was God, that he is the Christ, he told them not to say anything. Think about when Peter answered the question, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You're the Christ." He told him, "Don't tell anybody." I don't know about you, but if someone were to come up to me and ask me what I thought it might look like if God walked the earth as a person, well, I would think that he would come in the form of royalty. He would be a great and mighty king. Or he'd have this position of governance, of high influence. He wouldn't come as a carpenter from a family of meager means who chose the position of a servant. That is not how I would have thought God would show up on the scene and walk the planet. But Jesus took up the humble spot, the position of serving. And this is the example that Paul tells us to follow. So the question is, are you serving? Are you serving those closest to you? That would be your friends and your family members. Are you serving those who are nothing like you with different beliefs and viewpoints and lifestyles? Or am I wanting to be served? Am I demanding my rights? Am I demanding my freedoms? Am I pushing my position and my authority and my identity in people's faces? Because it would seem to me that as I read through the scripture, that the example of Jesus is laying down our rights and laying down our freedoms to serve people and to show them love. Take up the humble spot. The last thing that I want to pull out of this passage that Paul teaches us is in verse 8. But the example of Christ is humble submission. It says this, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. So not only did Jesus choose to walk the earth as a bondservant, but he willfully decided to live in humble submission to the Father, which he knew would lead to his gruesome death. Because Jesus being God, God knows everything. There's nothing hidden from God. Jesus knew exactly what humble submission looked like and how that would end. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Literally, 60 minutes, 1 hour before Jesus was betrayed and arrested, he's praying in the garden and he falls down on his knees and he says these words, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours. See, this demonstrates the humble submission that Jesus walked in. He wasn't forced to go to the cross by the Father. He wasn't tricked into it. He wasn't coerced into it. Jesus decided to humbly submit to the will of the Father. And the weight of his decision weighed so heavy on him that he began to sweat drops of blood, literal blood. Jesus wasn't hanging on the cross by three nails, but by his decision. See, the one with limitless power and legions of angels at his disposal was there because he chose to live in humble submission. Through all the pain, through all the torture, through all the agony, disgrace, and shame, he could have at any time, with not even a word, but a simple thought, he could have rescued himself, but he chose not to. He humbled himself in obedience to the Father's will. Not my will, but yours be done. See, this is the measure of our own personal humble submission. How do I measure up in my submission to the Father when he asks me to do something? Do I look at the cost and the sacrifice and think, Father, that's too much? That's too hard. Well, what about this and what about that? And then do I start coming up with all the excuses as to why I shouldn't submit? Now listen, this isn't to make anyone feel guilty or feel bad about themselves, but literally what we're doing, I'm just holding up scripture. This is what scripture says. And then we hold up our life beside it. We say, how do we measure up to what scripture says? Because what we don't ever do is we never lower the standard of scripture so we can make our lives and make ourselves feel better. If this is the standard of scripture and my life is down here, I don't lower the standard of scripture. I raise the standard of my life up. I don't bend scripture around my life, but I bend my life around scripture. Sometimes I fail. I don't always measure up, but I continue to get up and I continue to bend my life to scripture and I continue to pursue humble submission to anything that Jesus asks of me. Because Jesus is worth the cost. Jesus is worth the sacrifice. Jesus is worthy of our obedience. Jesus is worth it all. And what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. See, Paul teaches us exactly what it means to walk humbly with God. And it means we have a humble soul, that we take up the humble spot, and we live in humble submission to God. This is not easy. Humility does not come naturally, and it does not come easy for anybody. What does come naturally is to live a prideful, conceited life, where we live all about us. This is not an easy message to take and apply. It's super easy to sit and listen to. It can be shouted through, amen, yeah, that's a good word. Yes, we bend our lives around scripture, but then to take a step away after the live stream ends and to look at my life and be like, am I a humble servant? Do I have a humble soul? Do I live in humble submission? And then to begin to walk that out, it's not easy. But as we looked at Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, we've got to ask ourselves, how does this help us as we look at hot topics starting next week? Well, when it comes to walk humbly with God, we approach every topic with humility and not with arrogance, even if we're correct in our theology. If we're correct in our theology and we are declaring it pridefully, we are not helping anyone. Humility is taking the approach of putting other people first, considering their needs, considering them as more important than myself. It takes the stance of, I don't know everything and I don't understand everyone, and it opens up conversation, it opens up dialogue to sit down and to talk with people. This is the humble soul. Humility seeks to serve people, not hit them over the head with truth. It takes the humble spot of a servant. This is what Jesus did. See, John chapter 1 and verse 14, it says this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is the one and only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Listen, if Jesus would have come with straight truth when he walked the earth, it would have crushed us. But grace is what helps us receive the truth. Humility is humble submission to Jesus, to the word and to what he's asking us to do. It's admitting when we're wrong. It's just a whole other message. That's not easy. It's sacrificing for someone and something else. It's accepting truth even when it's different than what we currently believe and maybe what we have always believed. But when we're confronted with truth, humble submission bows our knee to the truth. Jesus is our moral compass, not culture or tradition. So buckle up, because the next 6 or 7 weeks are going to get hot. You think it's hot outside, it's going to be hot inside. And then, you know what? To be honest, I'm almost guaranteeing that it's going to get uncomfortable. So as we go through hot topics, it's going to get hot, it's going to get uncomfortable. Chances are it might feel a little awkward at times, and there's going to be something that rises up from you on the inside and be like, no, that's not right. But we hold up the truth of Scripture, we hold up the standard of Scripture, and then we submit to that. But every talk, every conversation, every interpretation and application of Scripture will be done through the framework of doing justice, of loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. So we'll see you back here, same time, same channel, next Sunday as we start Hot Topics.